Okay, so yeah, we'll be continuing the conversation that we started this morning, talking about how we can use LinkedIn to strengthen and grow your financial practice. Before doing that, I thought we'd have a little bit of fun here. I know we've been sitting down a lot today, so a little bit to break the ice, we'll play a game called What's the Connection? So I think what we'll have it do here is once you've seen the connection, three different words or objects, you can just go ahead and raise your hand. We'll wait till we have a little bit of a critical mass before shouting it out. So we'll start here. What is the connection between these three? Okay, go for it. Alter egos? Yes, exactly. Peter Parker, Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, right there. How about this? Raise your hands once you have it.
They're all covering something.
What's that?
They're all covering something.
Yes?
Oh, no, the Cardinals. Excuse me, I was looking at them.
In the back, yeah.
Monopoly
pieces. Ah. Nice. Very well done. Okay, how about these three? Just raise your hand once you have it. We'll wait till we get a couple. Okay, right here. That's right. Actors and politicians. Last time I did this, someone shouted out that they were all Republicans as well. I can't confirm that, but I'll go with it. Okay, how about this one here? Okay, we have one person here. Wait for a couple others. What is it?
They all have keys.
Keys, yes. Florida keys, piano keys, and then just like keys. So, okay, how about this? Wait a second. Okay, go for it.
Words that are spelled forward and backwards the same.
That's right. You know what that is? What word that is? Palindrome. Yeah. Okay, I think we might have this, maybe one more after this. Some of these are getting a little bit trickier, but okay, we have a couple hands. We'll go over here. Yeah.
They're all rights.
Yes. Right angle, Bill of Rights, and... Orville and Wilbur. Okay. John, go for
diamonds.
It. Diamonds. And this is the last one. I do remember that. These three. This hand is going up quick over here. I think she saw the slides in advance. No.
It'll be royalties?
Royalties, yeah. What are they?
King of Rock, Queen Latifah, and
the Duke.
Yes. Okay. So this, what's the connection? Talking about LinkedIn today. So connecting, I guess, kind of. We'll do a little bit of trivia now. There is a very small prize of who wins this. I'm debating whether or not to ask you to stand up for this. Is that okay if we stand up? Okay, well, stand up for it. There's like six questions, and you can stay standing if you get it right. So if you really don't want to stand up anymore, just miss the first question, okay? Please, I'll invite you to stand up here. And this is one of those like on your honor things, okay? So you could get it wrong and say you got it right every time if you wanted to, but we'll go by your word. Okay, first question. When was LinkedIn launched? Okay, we'll wait a couple seconds here. Does everyone have their answer? At least one in mind. The correct answer is B, 2003. So if you missed that one, feel free to take a seat. I used to say founded, but technically it was December of 2002. So I go with launched here. A fully completed LinkedIn profile, they are how many times more likely to receive opportunities on LinkedIn? you heard me talk this morning, I did share this stat. The answer is C, 40 times. Okay, a couple more. True or false, LinkedIn's largest source of revenue comes from advertising. The correct answer is false. With a lot of social media companies, the greatest source is advertising, but with LinkedIn, it's actually through our recruiter product. Corporate recruiters pay actually quite a bit of money to use LinkedIn to identify, contact individuals. Advertising makes up about 30% of the company's revenue. Question four, LinkedIn members who include skills in their profiles receive blank more profile views. Okay, the answer is 13, B. We still have one, okay. I had a couple more just in case. I did this one time and like everyone was still standing. It was like, oh no, what do I do now? I had like one small prize. So this is a stat I shared earlier. You're automatically the winner because you're the last one standing. Advisors with a high social selling index outsell what percent of their peers who don't use social media? Does anyone remember that? B. It was B. 78%.
Still standing.
Okay. There's one more question. Since you are still standing, okay, let's do this, guys. This is just for you. What percent of affluent investors say that they would interact with financial advisors via social media?
You said this one.
This one I actually don't remember. I would assume 55.
The correct answer is B. 73%.
No prize.
No prize. Okay. So just in case we did have a bunch of people standing, we'll go ahead and do this. Closest to the pin question, how many members are on LinkedIn? We can just shout out some answers. If anyone, raise a hand first, and then we'll shout it out. Yes? 20 million. Okay. Any other guesses?
40 million.
50? 40?
35.
100 million. Any others? 450 million. Okay. Yeah, there's about, I think it's about 100, 150 million in the U.S., and then the rest are all international members. So growing extensively. LinkedIn actually gives out a T-shirt for every, like, 100 million members there are. So I have a handful of those. Okay, so the prize was... I mentioned earlier that I wrote a book. It was a career strategy book. It's called Not Your Parents' Workplace. Hope you enjoy it. It's targeted to help people find traction in their careers and find guidance in their careers. And I write a lot about the experiences I had of going through the Lehman bankruptcy and experiences that were learned along the way. So hope that was a fun intro to LinkedIn. Just time check so I know. What time do we wrap up here?
3:30, I believe.
Is it 3:30? Okay, great. So I'll keep an eye on that. So let's jump into the agenda here, okay? So chat about a couple LinkedIn resources that are available, common LinkedIn mistakes, and how we can avoid them, whether or not you should upgrade to premium. Once again, I'll say I do not work in sales. I personally do not care that much if you upgrade to premium. I guess it does increase our stock price if a lot of people do. So in that sense, as a shareholder, I care. But I don't make any much sort of money by getting you individually, just knowing like what's available, what's out there. 10 steps on how you can improve your profile and time for questions. And since we have a relatively small group, we may actually hold off on going through the 10 steps to improve your profile. I wrote an article that I can share afterwards if we don't have time to cover that I can pass along. Because I would really love, I'm sure there are questions out there, would love to get those questions. And if I can't answer them, maybe somebody else here can do that. Does this sound good? Okay. So let's chat LinkedIn resources. So this is what I shared at the beginning. Let me pass this around. You can shoot me an email, or I'll go ahead and pass this around if you want to. You can sign up, share your email, I'll show you this how-to guide to social selling, as well as a series of LinkedIn articles that I wrote on how to get started in LinkedIn and how to really take advantage of them. I'll just give a quick walkthrough. One of them was an article I wrote for Mashable on 10 tips to have a great profile. The second one was for Fast Company. This is the underutilized tool I talked about earlier today, which is the alumni tool, and how to take advantage of that and contact individuals. And then the third was an article I wrote for Forbes on how to write a LinkedIn article, especially if you're not a LinkedIn or not a writer, which, you know, most of us don't fall into that camp. You know, five steps you can use to write and share what you're doing. So go ahead and feel free to sign up if you're interested in receiving those. Okay, common LinkedIn mistakes. So the first one, this seems really obvious because I think people view LinkedIn as kind of like an extended resume, although it's a lot more. And of course, you'd never have typos on your resume. But just a reminder, that's still something that's seen quite a bit. So as you're working on your profile, I always suggest people run it by a few others to get an extra set of eyes on it. Hopefully that's a simple one that we can track down. The second is inappropriate profile photos, okay? In this group, we probably don't have anybody with like the bathroom selfie. I don't see that too often. In this camp, though, you probably see a little bit more of this, okay? I know you probably have a beautiful wife, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it may be. Strongly encourage it should you just be you in the LinkedIn profile picture. With your picture, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to hire a professional photographer or anything. A cell phone camera with a blank background works. And with the picture, I always recommend wearing what kind of is the standard for your industry, and then maybe just a little bit more formal if that's what you're doing. If suit and tie is standard, no need to buy a tuxedo. I'm not suggesting that, but I think that's something to keep in mind. I do see a lot of those. The third one is what I call stalking people without being anonymous. So there's this who's viewed your profile feature that's available on LinkedIn. And I think it's kind of the default on LinkedIn. So if you view somebody's profile, they can see, there's a record of it, they can see that you viewed theirs. And it's normally not a big deal, but let's say you have a client meeting or a prospect meeting and you're, you know, looking at their profile quite extensively over a period of a week. They may see that, and just know that you can shut that off. To do that, if you want to shut that off, you click in the right-hand corner where your picture is, and then go to right here, Privacy and Settings, and you can shut that off. If you do shut it off, just know that then you won't be able to see who has viewed your profile. The next one is continually making... Yeah, your question.
So can you shut off for a period of time and then turn it back on?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, you can. That's something you can toggle on and off. And thank you for putting your hand up and asking the question. If you have any questions, put your hand up. I hope this is not just me talking it at you for 50 minutes. Yeah?
You know, back to that about people viewing the profile. How many people see your profile? So I'll go try and figure out, you know, who it might be. And about 90% of the time, I can't see who I work.
Yeah.
So what do you do? I mean, it's like all these people review, you know, looking at you. But then, so what do you do?
So two thoughts. The first is if they have shut off the Who's Viewed Your Profile feature, you'll only see that, like, someone on LinkedIn has viewed it. You won't see details. Also, if you have just the free regular LinkedIn account, I think you can only see the last couple individuals. I believe it's five who viewed your profile, where if you upgrade to premium, you can go back and see everybody in the last 90 days who's viewed it. Any other questions up to this point? Okay. So shutting off the profile notifications, if you're making edits to your profile, generally speaking, that will show up in your LinkedIn feed that everyone in your network sees. This isn't really a big deal. Just if you're making a lot of tweaks over a couple week period, you can shut that off. And as you're making those edits on the right-hand side, you'll see this. You can toggle that from no and yes. I generally speaking keep mine off, and then if I'm changing jobs, which is fairly infrequent, then I'll turn it to yes, because then if I am changing jobs, I want people in my network to know.
Just a question, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry.
So on that, it doesn't ask you every time you make an update. It's a setting, you set it, and then it stays that way.
Correct, yeah. And this one you'll always see on the right-hand side. If you're on the edit section of your profile, it will. I think now LinkedIn has changed it so it defaults to no. But you can change that, yeah. So you don't need to do it every time, just whatever you left it as the last time, it will stay. This one I did talk about this morning, failing to personalize the LinkedIn invitation. It's I think especially if you're reaching out to people that you might not know very well, or reaching out to somebody who maybe you even haven't met before, personalizing that invitation can go really, really far. I personally, if somebody reaches out to me and I don't know them, and I get like the standard, "I'd like to add you to my network," I don't accept the invite because I don't know the person. I don't know why they're reaching out. But if they provide some context and maybe share why they want to connect, then I'll generally speaking accept, and then a dialogue can be created.
Quick question.
Yeah.
So my experience, you can only do this on the web based. Can you add a personalized message from a handheld device?
So what you can do, and I don't think I have the picture for it, but if you pull up someone's profile in the top right hand corner, if it's a iOS, there'll be like three dots. I think if it's an Android, it's something similar in the top right-hand corner. You can click that, and then it'll give you the opportunity to customize it. Because, I think the default through the mobile app is just to send it without being able to customize it. So, yeah, know that that's an option. I think LinkedIn is in the process now of making it so if you do hit invite, it'll ask you, do you want to customize the invitation, or do you want to just send the default? I don't know if that is available for all users yet. Okay, this one is actually becoming more of a problem on LinkedIn as time goes on. I think it's something as a company that we're trying to tackle. So commenting on irrelevant content. And this is something to be aware of. You might see this like, only a genius can solve this problem. And it's kind of fun to like maybe answer it, but when you do that, everyone in your LinkedIn network will see that you were like trying to answer that question. It'll show up in their feed, and it doesn't actually make you look like you're a genius. Unfortunately, just sometimes it looks a little bit silly. And so I think LinkedIn, we're trying to tackle just this irrelevant content and how to get rid of it. But just know, whatever you like, whatever you comment on, shows up in your feed. And then the last one, and I would like to have a discussion about some of these here, not being compliant, because I know as financial professionals, this is something that there's a concern with. I know when I was at Merrill Lynch, LinkedIn was made available to us, but there were only limited features that we were able to use on LinkedIn. I think that has changed over time. But know the rules. So there's a few FINRA rules on blogs and social networking, as well as an SEC alert that was mentioned for investment advisors on how to use social media. I'm not going to go into the weeds of those rules, but you cannot provide specific investment advice on LinkedIn because it is a violation of the suitability regulations. So beware of that. I think generally speaking, you could probably comment and talk about the state of the markets, but providing specific advice is something that can't be done. Another is being cautious about endorsements and testimonials. So testimonials online are something that are not, that are generally speaking not allowed. And so beware of that. I think with skills, so you could on LinkedIn you can list all the skills that you have. I think if someone endorses you for those skills that is a client of yours, that might actually count as like an endorsement or a testimonial. So just be cautious of that. And then keeping detail. Yeah, go for it.
Is there a way to block endorsements or whatever?
I think there is a way there is a way to shut. So you can. So I guess what you can do is only list out the skills that you want to. So I would be cognizant of that and only list out the skills that you feel comfortable having other people endorse you for on LinkedIn.
I think you turn it off.
What's that?
I think you turn it off.
Yeah. I think altogether you can turn off the skills section of your profile. That's something you want to stay.
Turn off just endorsements. I mean, I had a client recently endorse me and I didn't ask him for anything. I didn't know he was going to do it.
Yeah. If you have listed the skill on your profile, I don't actually know if you can prevent people from endorsing you for it. But if a client endorses you for a skill that you have not put on your profile, I believe you have to approve that in LinkedIn before it goes. So people can't just say, I'm going to endorse you for investment advisory without you actually having it on your profile initially or then going and approving that. Yeah?
As far as the records go, is that just like making sure you don't delete, past records? Or, I'm new to LinkedIn, so like what do you do in order to keep those records?
So I know there are companies, so this is one I would actually probably check with compliance on. There are companies that have been built to capture large investment houses hire a company. I think I forget the Socialware or something. I don't know if that rings a bell to anybody. Is one that will capture all of that content that you do and automatically record that. So I would double check with compliance on that because I don't know if LinkedIn itself will preserve that for 3 years. Yeah, yeah.
If you're just an insurance agent. Does that any of that apply? Like just a basic insurance license. You don't have your 6 or 7 or 66.
Does anyone know that? I don't.
I believe it. So.
Think it would. So you guys are boots on the ground, and that's why hopefully we can all kind of help each other. I'm a couple years now removed from the day to day of it. I wouldn't think it would apply, but I double check on that. Any other concerns from like a compliance standpoint of using LinkedIn? Or any points you wanted to bring up? I know that's like a really like fun topic. So, but it's, yeah.
So I'm new to this, but is there a cost, monthly cost to be linked?
So yeah, so this great point. And that actually leads to, I think, to the next one here. Should you upgrade to premium? So LinkedIn is free for all members, or there is a free LinkedIn product for all members. You can just go to linkedin.com and sign up for an account. We do have premium accounts to gain additional features that you pay money for. I think those start at about $30, $40 a month. And there's a 30-day trial you can use to test out and see if you want to upgrade. So here's the decision of should you upgrade to premium. Okay, we'll look at the differences between the free and the premium accounts here. So who's viewed your profile? I talked about this one here. You can see the last 5 people who viewed your profile from the free version. With the premium account, there's a lot more information. You can see a full list of Everyone has viewed your profile over the last 90 days, as well as a variety of insights there. Second is how you rank. So you can see the 10 most viewed people among your connections, as well as the 5 people above and below you on the profile. Some people really care about this. Some people are really competitive about how their profile views rank compared to others. I think it's a nice to know. But if you really care, then you know you can see a lot more. You can see a full list of the 100 most viewed people in your network. So something to consider. On search, so this is what it looks like. If you have a free account and someone did a search and they see your name, they'll just see a few basic pieces of information about you. Where if you have a premium account and they're running a search on your name, then you'll see a lot and more information. They'll see a lot more information. So you'll stand out a little bit more if you have a premium account. Yes?
So let's say if I have a premium account where you don't, and I'm trying to make a search on you, would that give me all the access for you if you don't have a premium? Or maybe you can only view premium to premium all the information. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. So if you have a... I think whoever's searching, it doesn't really matter. I think it's the person who's being searched that will determine this. Does that cover it? So I think if you're doing a search, whether you have a free or premium account, you'll
so
still see.
The searcher gets all the information based on whether he's premium or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we will talk about a few additional search features. Okay. Filters. So if you're doing an advanced search, which I talked about this morning, there's a handful of filters that are available, such as industry, location, where if you look at premium, there are quite a bit more. You can see the company size. You can see the function that they're in, which can be really, really valuable. If you have a target market that you're going after, you can narrow that list down. Yeah.
Question. This morning we went over the superstar profile. Are you going to touch base with some of that?
Yes. So I'll go a little bit deeper on that, and that's the all-star profile. Yeah. So what all we'll come back to that in a second, and we'll see how much time we have. But if not, I can send you an article to go a little bit deeper on that. Okay, unlimited profile search. It's actually limited, and this I think is one that is really, really valuable with the premium account. You will be limited. Has anyone been limited on the number of searches that they can do? I think LinkedIn has become a little bit more strict over the last couple of years. But if you have a free account, there are only so many searches that can be done. Where with a premium account, you can do an unlimited number of searches. And then here's a handful of premium-only features that are available. So InMail allows you to basically message anybody on LinkedIn, where if you don't have InMail, you can only message individuals who you have a first-degree relationship with. So this can be a valuable feature. Keyword suggestions. This is a recent add-on. As you're building out your profile, it will look at your industry and recommend specific keywords that you can use as you build out your profile. I think this is probably more valuable for job seekers than probably advisors, but it's a nice touch. And the last one is an open profile. So if you get a premium account and you set yourself to having an open profile, then anybody can message you for free on LinkedIn, and they don't have to pay for it. You can shut that off if you want to. Any questions on premium features at all? Okay. So here we have, I guess we still have some time. Let's do, based on time now, we'll go through the, what I call the all-star profile. So I think to have an all-star profile, there were some fairly basic qualifications that you needed. There were 7 steps, just having a picture, having your industry, location, things of that nature. And that opened up, only half the people on LinkedIn have that. And so that opened it up to, so having an all-star profile gave you 40 times more opportunities. So this, I think, is how to take it to the next level. And I'm going to use, I should say this, I'm going to use my profile on this just because, like, I can speak to the rationale of why I did it. I'm not saying, like, mine's the gold standard at all. But I think a LinkedIn profile is the opportunity to tell your story. So I'll use mine to do that here. So I think having the right photos is really important. We talked about photos a little bit earlier. The one thing I'll add is you can have a background image. I have this astronaut here. This is like a theme at LinkedIn of you're closer than you think. Don't give up. Kind of keep working at it. Know that that's available. It can be a nice touch, not a must-have feature, but something worth looking at. And adding a profile leads to 11 times more profile views. So definitely worth it. Yeah?
On the cover photo thing, does that show only if someone searches your profile on the computer? Or does that show up on mobile devices as well?
It does not show up on mobile. Yeah, that's a desktop only, at least right now. It's a desktop only option. The second one is write a better headline. So the headline is what pops up right below your name on LinkedIn, and by default, it's your current position at your company. You can actually change that. And so here's a couple things. I think of the headline as like just like your mini summary. So a couple questions for you to consider as you write your headline here, like who are you trying to reach? What's your target audience? Things to think about. And here are a couple possible. I've actually, as I was preparing for this conference, I looked up a few different advisors and found these headlines that I think are really good. First, financial advisor serving families and corporate executives. And second, comprehensive financial planning, building, preserving, and empowering wealth. So just the headline, just a real quick summary to share who you are, what you're doing. The third, one thing you can do is to claim your URL. Has anybody done this where you've customized the URL? Okay, great. So by default, and that's, let's see, is that the laser? You probably can't see that, but here it is. It's like linkedin.com/in/my name. By default, it'll have some like ugly number that extends 20 digits or something like that. And so you can go in to customize your URL by going to Edit Profile, and then there's a gear box that you'll see below your name, and then you can go in and change the settings there. I think, yeah, go for it.
Is that premium only?
No, that's available for everybody. And I think that's really, really nice. Not only does it look good on your profile, but it's something you can put on your business card when you give out so people can easily see that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You just are able to look into LinkedIn and you can just sign up for free webinars and they'll walk you through certain topics.
Yeah.
So it's just you can set up your own training.
Yeah, yeah. We do have webinars available that will help out there. Absolutely. Any other questions on that? Okay. Number 4 is revise your summary. And this is another, I think especially for an advisor, this is a really great opportunity. For me, I have kind of a funky background where I started in finance and then ultimately made a shift to work in talent and HR. And so if you look at my past experience and what I'm doing today, there's kind of a disconnect. And so the summary is the opportunity to tell that story. And I think for you, it's an opportunity to share what it is you do, how it is you add value in your practice. You can also include images. You can include videos. You can include articles that you may have been mentioned in, and that's not just on your summary. That's all throughout your profile, including rich content on there. Okay, experience. I'll go through this relatively quickly, but this is just previous jobs that you've had. I have a couple press releases from projects that I worked on. Sixth is education. Probably I speak to a lot of student groups, so that's probably a little bit more relevant for them and showcasing the education that you've had. Adding volunteer experience and causes. Yeah, go for it.
On that last slide, are those videos?
So these are actually videos, yeah.
And you can add those to your summary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these you can add them to your summary, your education, your experience. You can add them all through it. Okay. And it's pretty easy to upload. It's a YouTube video that I shared. I think one other one was just like a Google Drive doc that I shared. Yeah.
Will you put pressure on my family
members? Absolutely. Yeah.
Question for you on the education there.
Yeah.
How do you get that BYU logo to?
So I think there's a database on LinkedIn that stores all this information. So if you've worked at a larger company or have gone to a larger university, there'll be a logo that corresponds to it. Where if it's a smaller company or university, we don't have. Then you probably won't see that. So, onto volunteer experiences. I think this is a really, really great way to round out your profile and to show, what it is that you care about outside of work. I know for hiring managers, they look at volunteer experiences, or 50% of them look at volunteer experiences the same way as work experience. Might not be relevant for this audience, but I think people do look highly on that. If you've served an LDS mission, this can be a great place to include that as well. And skills and endorsements, I'm going to spend less time on this section because we've talked a lot about it. I would be extra cautious here on the skills that you list and the endorsements. The real value of having skills on LinkedIn are so when recruiters are looking for you. So when recruiters are doing a search, I should take a step back. When recruiters are doing a search on LinkedIn, they'll enter like a long string of all the different things that they're looking for. And they'll include certain skills that they're trying to find. And so that's where I think having skills and having endorsements can be really valuable. But for this audience, it may not be worth the risk.
Question?
Yeah.
But you said having endorsements is breaking in the evaluation. And how has it been a good thing then? Is it when someone else is
I think it adds a lot of value for non-financial advisors or those who aren't under the same regulations. Yeah. And I don't know the intricacies of it. That's why I would check with compliance to make sure that you're squared away on that. Recommendations are the same way. I think recommendations can be viewed as testimonials. So I'd also be cautious of that there. And last, rounding it out, you can follow companies on LinkedIn. You can follow groups on LinkedIn. By following them, anything that they publish will show up in your LinkedIn feed. So it allows you to customize what it is that you want to see. And the reason why I follow these 10 steps, this is the article that I wrote for Mashable. It follows these exact 10 steps. So I can send this around if you wanted to go a little bit more detailed in that. And lastly, kind of as you think about your profile. Oh, yeah. Your question?
I have two questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have been using LinkedIn for a long time. At NDRT, they said this is the greatest way to find people, even better than Facebook.
Yeah.
I work
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess the first question is, I'm doing Life Trip to post, you know, relevant stuff. I haven't seen much of any activity from that.
Yeah.
So what would you say?
Yeah, if and that's in their, I think it's a tough spot. There just might not be any. Do we have a thought there?
What about the thought of addressing something to your parents? So if you're reaching maybe younger professionals who have parents that they're starting to care for, that might help them say, hey, mom, dad, you need to check for this.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
A good suggestion. The other thing is groups. Are there groups out there about seniors like you're covering here? Or is LinkedIn more of a younger population?
There are like thousands of groups that are out there. So I would imagine that there's something like that. I don't know how active it would be. You know, you can get on groups and take a look and see what there is. But there are a lot of groups that are having those discussions. Yeah. But yeah, I think going back to your first point, I mean, since LinkedIn was launched in 2003. I mean, it's been around for 13 years now. Like, if you weren't actively in the workforce during that period, like, you're probably not on it. So if the audience isn't there, either you go somewhere else or you find out, okay, who on LinkedIn, you know, cares about this cause and how can I connect with those people?
Great,
yeah.
So on the companies that you go in and follow, that shows up on your profile, who you
correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then when they post something, you said it shows up in your feed. Sorry, forgive my ignorance of how this works, but I'm like comparing it to Facebook.
It's a great comparison.
So
yeah.
So like you've got on Facebook, you've got your wall that you've got your stuff on, and then you've got like your feed where you see what everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm. Very, very similar. Yeah. So when you like a company or a group, people can go to your wall or go to your profile and see that you like that, and then in your feed you'll see content from those companies if they're publishing anything. Companies,
so,
yeah.
Will something show up on your other connections feed that says, you know, Tara Thurgood likes Silicon Valley women?
It used to. I mean, LinkedIn is always changing the algorithm of what shows up in the feed and what doesn't. There's a very strong likelihood that it would do that. So yeah, I think the companies, the groups that you do follow, I'd be cognizant of that because it may show up in people's feed. I think LinkedIn has removed a lot of that because most people just don't care what groups other people are following or what companies they follow. I think we're trying to make sure whatever is in that feed is highly relevant to everybody. But it may. Yeah.
Can I ask one more question?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So if you have a like article or whatever and you push it out or publish it or whatever, how do you go back and find that? Like how do you go back and see what
And then if you write like a long form content, you write an article on LinkedIn, that will also be captured in your profile. So there's like a permanent record kept of that. Absolutely. Okay, we are at 3:30. I just want to share this. Good artist copy, great artist steal. I'm not advocating theft, but the context of this quote is look at the profiles of other people who you have respect for. See what they're doing. See what you like. Use that. See what you don't like. Throw that away. Keep that in mind. I think that's a great way to go about building it. Here's what we talked about today. Q&A. It is 3:29. So maybe one question. Here's my email if you want to shoot an email. Okay, we'll do these two questions before Greg starts yelling at me.
Are you an employee of LinkedIn?
I am an employee of LinkedIn. Yes. Yeah.
In San Francisco?
In Sunnyvale is where I'm at, but in the Bay Area. Yeah.
Okay, right. So you've got an Gmail.
So I share my personal email address because I do a lot. I am LinkedIn does not send me out to do presentations like this. As a part of LinkedIn, this is just something that I'm really passionate about. So My LinkedIn email is ntanner@linkedin.com. I just like to keep them separate. But yes, I am a LinkedIn employee. Yes.
Is it a challenge to set up a business one instead of my personal one and funnel, you know, things that we might be pushing out to clients out of a business, LinkedIn or company rather than a personal or all of, you know, agents within our?
Yeah, so you can create a company page on LinkedIn. So it would be separate. Yeah, you'd have to go in and create a company page. You wouldn't create like a business LinkedIn profile. We keep that a little bit separate. But you can share content. People can like your business page. People can follow it. Things like that. Yeah. Okay. Thank you all very much. If you have any additional questions, feel free to shoot me an email. Appreciate your time.